Well, good morning to all of you, and a very warm welcome to our Sunday morning service, a service of dedication, and we particularly want to, and particularly to the Hales family, extended members of family and friends, and also particularly to Catherine and Mike, who've come to stand with and to support Michael and Anna as they dedicate Emma to the Lord this morning, and other visitors as well. It's nice to see new faces in church, so the Lord bless you all, and thank you so much for sharing in this happy event. The only intimation really for the week is this. All the house groups are cancelled for a variety of different reasons, mainly to do with the Jubilee. Please note, my group on the Thursday, that was put in the notice sheet. It's written in red letters. They're probably a bit small, but hopefully you can see them. So all the house groups are cancelled. So you have a week off, but as they say, normal service will resume the following week. Okay, so there we are. And I think that is all that I need to say. Let's stand and worship the living God together. Come people of the risen King, then in my wrestling, in my doubts, otherwise known as my lighthouse, let's stand and praise God together.
My life.
There are actions to that, but we may learn them another time. let's continue to praise God in a different way as we come and pray together. Lord, we thank you for the joy of this new morning and of this new week. We thank you, O Lord, for the gift of life that, Lord, you give to all that you have made, and that we come, Lord, particularly this morning to celebrate in the dedication of Emma. We thank you, O Lord, that as your word tells us, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Made in your image, made for your glory, made for a fellowship with the living and eternal God. And we thank you, O Lord, this morning that we are able to know these things and to enter into these things because of the completed and perfect work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we who were once far off have been brought near by the shedding of your blood. Lord, those whose hearts were full of hatred towards you, Lord, even at best indifference. Yet, Lord, now they have been touched and melted by the warmth of your love. And that, living God, because of that, Lord, we now love you because you first loved us. You have drawn us close and you call us family. You have made us your sons and daughters to a heavenly Father. Lord, for these things we bless you and thank you this morning. And we simply ask that as we celebrate these things today, Lord, as we worship you for your goodness and your grace, that, Lord, you would meet with us this morning as we seek to meet with you afresh, to have that life-transforming encounter with the living God. So, Lord, we pray, be lifted up high in our midst this morning, that as you have promised, you would draw all men and women and young people and boys and girls to yourself. And Lord, it is in the name of Jesus and for his glory alone that we humbly, wholeheartedly and joyfully ask these things. Amen. Amen. Well, friends, we come to the moment of dedication, and before I ask Michael and Anna to stand, we just made a quick shift. I'm going to do it down here because if we do it on the front bit, we like to fall off and break something, so we're going to do it safe on solid ground. I just know what can happen. I've heard too many horror stories. Anyway, let's be more serious as we come to dedicate Emma to the Lord. Maybe you haven't been to one of these things before, or maybe not for a long time. Maybe you come from a different tradition, and you're wondering what do they do in the Baptist Church when it comes to welcoming children into the fellowship of faith. Well, hopefully some of those questions may be answered by the end of the service this morning. And I wanted just to read a little bit of introduction, just to put in context what we're about to do together. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we welcome Michael and Anna today with their new daughter, Emma, and also members of their wider family, and also, as we've particularly mentioned, Catherine and Mike, who are going to stand with Michael and Anna as they make these promises today. We welcome all in the Lord's name. Michael and Anna are here to present their child before the Lord, as Jesus was presented in the temple by his parents. In doing so, they recognize that their child is not their personal property, but belongs to God, and that as parents they have responsibilities before God. In their promises, they will commit themselves to fulfill those responsibilities. But also, as a church, we shall welcome Emma into our midst, into our family, as Jesus welcomed the children that were brought to him. Also, in the presence of God, we shall offer support and friendship to Emma and to her parents in sharing our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the hope that one day she may discover saving faith in Christ for herself as Saviour and Lord. And also, finally, we're going to ask God to bless this young life, to bless Emma, and that he would descend upon her in a wonderful and blessed way. So I'm going to ask Michael and Anna to stand. Oh, here we go. This is an exciting bit, isn't it? Here we go. Okay. I'm going to ask you two simple questions, and then you can hand over Emma, and I'll try not to drop her. I'm sure I won't. and pray God's blessing on her. But here are the two questions I'm going to ask, first of all, to yourself, and then I'm going to ask all who are regular attenders here in Oney Baptist. If you come here week by week, this is for you. I'm going to ask you to stand, and I'm going to ask you a promise, and I'm going to ask you to say, hopefully, we will, and hopefully Michael and Anna are going to respond in the same manner. But we'll come to that in a moment or two. So here is the first of the two questions to Michael and to Anna. Do you accept the gift of your child, and do you accept the joys and duties of parenthood, promising to give Emma your love and care?
We do.
We do. Do you promise to bring up your daughter Emma within the Christian community and to share your own faith with her?
We do.
We do. Okay, friends, those who are regular attenders here in the church, I would ask you to stand at this point as well, because Emma is not just part of the Hales family, she's part here of the family of God here in Oney, and therefore this question I ask you all, and would you please just say that we do. Do you promise to offer Emma and her family love and care, and do you promise to join with her parents in sharing your Christian faith with her? Very good. Please do be seated. I'm going to put this book down. You're going to come and say hello to me. Who's this strange man? Oh, am I getting a smile? Am I getting a smile? Come on then. Oh, we go, lad. There we go. Father, we rejoice in these moments, Lord, even in humour before you. We thank you, Lord, for the precious life and gift of Emma. And Lord, we just simply would ask now that you would bless her and keep her, that you would lift up the light of your countenance upon her, that you would bless her and turn your face towards her and grant to her your peace, and that, Lord, in time, she will grow up to be a strong woman of faith who loves the Lord Jesus and serves him all her days. Hear this as we ask and pray for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 There we go. And before we finish, I think it'd be good also that we do pray for Catherine and Mike as well, as they have promised that they will be supportive of Michael and Anna as they bring up Emma as well. Let's pray for them too. Father, we thank you for the gift of family, extended family and friends. And Lord, we thank you for the way that they bless us and speak into our lives and support us. And we pray, O Lord, for Catherine and Mike this morning as they have committed themselves, Lord, to stand with and to support Michael and Anna. We pray your blessing on them as they help them, Lord, in this sacred task and duty. Lord, may they just be a good and a godly influence. And Lord, may you use them, Lord, for your glory in that way. And we pray your blessing on them too, and the whole family. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's turn to our reading. No, we're going to sing first, actually, and then we'll turn to reading afterwards. This is a Hales family favourite, I believe, and they've specifically asked that we choose this. Our God is a great big God, and he holds us in his hands. Let's stand and sing together. God is a great big God. Oh. want to leave are free to do that, and we're going to read briefly from God's word and then turn to a time of intercession. We're going to read from Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 16, and Catherine's going to come and read God's word to us.
The little children and Jesus. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them.
Let's turn again to a time of prayer as we pray for the needs of our world at this time. Let us pray together. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who sees and understands and knows all things. We thank you, O Lord, that you are a God who is eager to bless. And we come, Lord, now into your presence to ask for your blessing, Lord, to be upon your world. A world that you have made and that, Lord, you died for. But a world in deep brokenness, Lord, and heartbreaking need. Lord, we remember particularly this morning, Lord, the great state, Lord, of Texas and that particular community that has known, Lord, unbelievable heartbreak in this week that has passed. Lord, young lives at the very beginning of their lives, Lord, suddenly just swept away. Lord, we pray, O Lord, for those parents, grandparents, members of extended family, Lord, who are mourning the loss of these little ones. We pray for them. We remember, Lord, the families of the two teachers as well, who also died, Lord, in this tragedy. We remember them, and Lord, even the family of the one who perpetrated it too. Lord, we pray, Lord, in these days of painful parting and farewell, we pray, O Lord, for all who are caught up in that. We remember, Lord, those who will conduct funerals. We pray that, Lord, you would give to them the grace and the words and the comfort, Lord, in Jesus that they need. Lord, to begin to help that broken, shattered community to heal and to recover. Lord, we pray for them. We pray, Lord, for other parts of the world again where there is great sadness and sorrow. Again, Lord, we bring before you that great land of Ukraine, Lord, in all its brokenness and need. We pray for them as well. Lord, we pray for peace, that there would be an end to the war, the destruction and the killing. We think of other parts of your world as well, Father, where things are going on that perhaps are not so well known, but happen there nonetheless. We remember them and we lift them before you. We pray, Lord, for those who would work and seek to promote peace, Lord, whether they believers or not. We pray, Lord, that you would honour them for their work. We think, Lord, of those who have answered that call to overseas ministry, Lord, and are seeking to bring the gospel of Jesus, Lord, into some of the spiritual dark corners of our world and the challenges and perhaps the dangers that that brings. We pray for them, that, Lord, you would guard and keep them, that you would bless them and use them, Lord, for your glory, and that many would come to a saving faith in yourself. Lord, we pray, Lord, for, Lord, our own land and country at this time as well. Lord, we remember, Lord, our Queen at this time, Lord, and we thank you for the 70 faithful years of service that she has given and for the times that, Lord, she has shared openly her own quiet Christian faith. We pray for her as she celebrates this remarkable milestone and as we give thanks, Lord, as a country for what this woman has done. We pray, Lord, for the opportunities that it will afford us also, Lord, to reach out into our community, Lord. In this week, we pray for those gospel opportunities, those gospel conversations that, Lord, we can share with others in our town at this time. We pray, Lord, for those who are in government, Lord, and who pass our laws, and there is much that, Lord, has saddened us in these weeks that have passed and must sadden you even more. We pray, O Lord, that there would be a return to decency and to standards in public life, and that people would recognize this is only made possible when people, Lord, come under your loving leading and lordship. We pray that they would come to that realization and enter into that experience. We pray, Lord, for us as a church, Lord, that you would help us to speak, Lord, those words of truth to power, and that, Lord, you would use us for your glory. We think, Lord, of our own community as well. We pray, Lord, your blessing upon it and those who seek to lead it and to work for its common good and its improvement. And we pray, Lord, for the churches in our town as well. We pray your blessing on them. Lord, we thank you for the life path that happened in the week past. And we pray, O living God, that as your word was shared and seeds of the gospel were sown into young hearts and lives, that, Lord, those who heard these things, these nearly 1,000 children, Lord, would be deeply impacted by what they heard, and that, Lord, it would lead some to a saving faith in you in due time. Lord, we remember our young people also as they are in exam season. We pray for them too as they revise and as they study. Lord, may they be able to give a good account of themselves and to, Lord, put down well what they have learnt and studied. We pray, Lord, for the work of Sunday Club and for GIG as well. We pray your blessing on them and those who lead them too. And Lord, we pray for those that for one reason or another are not with us this morning, worshipping today. We pray, Lord, your blessing upon them, that they would know, if need be, your healing in body or in mind. And Lord, for we who, Lord, are here now, as we prepare to receive your word, Lord, we pray that you would speak to our hearts, inspire us afresh, and give us a soul refreshing view, we pray, of Jesus and his love this morning. So, Lord, for all these things we ask, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, friends, let's stand and sing a lovely song before we come to God's word. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. Friends, do take your seats, and if you have your Bibles open at Mark 13, that would be helpful. As for a few moments this morning, we just reflect on Jesus and that moment where he blesses the children. That's really the title I've given for our reflection this morning. One of many little stories, snippets from the life and earthly ministry of the Lord. And for a few moments, I wanted just to reflect on five things that form part of this little story as we see Jesus blessing the children from these few verses from Mark chapter 10. And the story begins with a request. It begins with the request of loving parents, because we're told at the start of the passage by Mark that people were bringing their little children to Jesus to place his hands on them, that he would bless them. There are a couple of things that perhaps are not immediately obvious. One is cultural, and that is that in Jesus' day, children were blessed by a great prophet and a great teacher. But also, they had something else that happened as well. And that was that this happened because the people recognized Jesus' authority. And so because of that, they asked that Jesus would come and he would bless them and lay his hand upon them. But here we see something else. Notice what Mark says here. He doesn't just say mums and dads. He could have, but he doesn't. He says people were bringing their little children to the Lord. And that is quite a significant thing that Mark is actually telling us, because yes, there is something cultural going on. Yes, people are bringing their children to Jesus because that was the tradition, as I say. If you had a great prophet, a great teacher, you brought your children to that person that he would bless them, because they were someone who was close to God and he could be a blessing to them. And yes, I think in Jesus' case, it went a bit further, because they recognized something of the power and the authority of God upon the Lord Jesus as the Son of God. So that's going on. But something deeper is happening. It's not just mums and dads bring their children to Jesus. Mark uses the general word in the Greek language, and he does it quite intentionally and quite deliberately. People were bringing their children to Jesus. And that begs the question, why? Why would Mark put it in that way? Why does he use and choose deliberately to use the word people rather than specifically mums, dads, parents? Well, I think he does it for one very good reason, and it's simply this. It reflects the makeup of the crowd that was coming to Jesus. They were people. And the word that he uses here for people, yes, it could refer to and would have referred to mothers and fathers, no question. But it can refer to other older family members as well, to uncles and aunties, even older cousins, actually even older brothers and sisters. Those who were not perhaps blood parents in the technical sense, but those who were in a loving blood relationship to that child, or even those who were in a loving relationship to that child but weren't perhaps even related to them at all. But those who either were parents or those who were standing in the place of parents, what do? They bring their little children to the Lord in order that he would bless them. And whether we are parents in that traditional sense, or whether we stand as parents, or perhaps are a bit like parents to others, the point is, I think, well made. No matter which of these categories we may fit into, there is no more wonderful thing that an adult can do, and that is to bring a child or a young person to the feet of the Lord, that he might bless them, and that they might have their lives transformed by him. And that's how the story begins. It begins with a request, a simple, obvious and honest request. Lord, please come and bless my child. Bless these children. That should be in the heart, friends, of all of us this morning. Whether we are gifted and given the gift of being parents or not, it doesn't matter. That we want to see Jesus come in our community, in our midst, and to bless our children, and to bless the children of our wider family and our own immediate family as well. So that's how the story begins. It begins with the request of loving parents. And you might think, well, that's wonderful. Then we just move into the blessing. Well, not quite so fast. Look at what happens next, secondly, in the story. Same verse, verse 13. There is the response of the disciples. So there's the request of loving parents, and then there's the response of the disciples. And the response of the disciples, let's say, it is less than gracious, to say the least. The disciples have a terrible habit of putting their foot right in it. They are not famed at times for their tact, sensitivity and diplomacy. And this is one of many examples that displays that. Because they respond in a very harsh way. We're actually told the disciples rebuked them. And it's the same word that actually is used in terms of Jesus' response, but we'll come on to that in a moment or two. So they rebuked these people who were bringing their little children to the Lord to bless. And that begs the question, why? Why would the disciples act in such a harsh, ungracious and unkind way? Well, there are several possible explanations that the commentators have come up with, all of which I think probably could very well be true. The first is that at times the disciples, as I've said, they weren't perhaps the most sensitive in their response to people and situations. And here's just another example of them really getting it quite badly wrong. Others have suggested maybe they're trying to protect Jesus from being worn out by the demands that people were making of him, which is also possible. Thirdly, others have suggested the disciples were just reflecting the social attitudes of the day when it came to children, which viewed them really as unimportant. They didn't have any rights in law, and they were very much at the bottom of the social pile and could basically be ignored and treated really quite badly. And then there's a final suggestion that the disciples here are being a little bit heavy-handed with the authority that the Lord Jesus has given them. But whatever possible explanation you decide to go for, or maybe all of them, the result was the same. The disciples were harsh in their treatment of those who were bringing their children to Jesus for blessing, simply because their attitudes were wrong. Their attitudes were wrong. And I think it's in this verse that Scripture is clearly warning us to make sure that as disciples of Jesus, we do not display harsh and off-putting attitudes in our speech and in our behavior that could prevent people, particularly young people and children in particular, from coming to Jesus and being blessed by him and having their lives transformed. How often, friends, do we find ourselves perhaps unintentionally acting a little bit like the disciples? We can get in the way sometimes of Jesus being able to bless others because of the way we are, because of the way that we speak and behave and interact with others, and often particularly those who are younger. So that's the second part of the story. The request of loving parents, the response of Jesus' disciples that wasn't very good, and then thirdly, Jesus gets in on the scene, verse 14. They are rebuked by an indignant Jesus. Same word that's used to describe the disciples. Jesus rebukes them. And we're told that Jesus is indignant. And this is a very strong word, and it's used of the Lord's response in this particular situation. This annoyed Jesus. That there is righteous indignation here. As the Lord looks at this attitude and sees this behavior, and he says, no, this is not right. This is not how things should be and how things should be done. And then we're told that Jesus says, let little children come to me and do not hinder them. Now, there are many things we could perhaps say at this point, but I want to just highlight two. And the first is this. Notice, friends, that the disciples' behavior and their underlying attitudes that had caused them did not go unnoticed by Jesus. And that's very important. Because I think very often in church life, we foolishly sometimes deceive ourselves into thinking that Jesus doesn't see what goes on. He doesn't see our thoughts. He doesn't hear the way that we speak to others. He doesn't observe the way that we interact and behave with one another. Well, I have news for you. That's not true. He does. He sees and takes note of all. He sees everything that goes on, not just in our lives as individuals, but also within the life and community of God's people themselves as well. So he sees and takes note of all these things. They don't go unnoticed. They don't just sort of slip through the door or get brushed under the carpet or use whatever imagery you want to use. The Lord sees and he takes note of all. But the second thing I think we also learn here is this, is that If there are behaviours and attitudes that are not right, whether they relate to us as individuals or a wider community, Jesus will come and he will deal with them strongly and decisively, either immediately, but always eventually. Especially if it involves those who are young, weak and vulnerable, as in this case. Jesus says that's not right, and he comes and he challenges it because he wants this moment, this place where these children are, to be a place of safety, of love, of welcome. One of the things that I think we've all had to do, no matter which church we belong to, as we come out of COVID and other things as well, we've often had to review some of the policies we've been doing. One of the things we've been doing for quite a while now is looking at the whole issue of safeguarding. And I know that for all the people here in the church, you probably want to groan inwardly and go, oh no, not that old chestnut again. And I understand that. It is quite hard work and it is often quite tedious. But you know something, friends? It's actually important. That we are in a place that is safe and known to be safe for our children and our young people. And let me give you a radical thought as I was pondering this earlier in the week. When it comes to safeguarding, and we hear that word and we just sort of groan and sigh deeply inwardly. Here's something perhaps to counter that. That if we are taking the teaching of this passage actually seriously, when it comes to issues of safeguarding and things like that, that actually, friends, it is missional. How about that? That's something you've probably not thought about. Think about it. It is actually part of our mission. It is a missional and it is an outreach and it is an evangelistic thing in itself. That we are known to be, as every Christian community wants to be, no matter what label they give themselves, they are a place of security, a place of welcome. A place where attitudes are right. Godly speech, godly behavior, godly way of living and behaving to all. That's why we have a safeguarding policy, friends, not just to children, but also to vulnerable adults as well. It goes for the older people as well. Same principles extend. And that's very important. And we see actually, I think, even some of these things being brought out. Jesus rebuked the disciples. He was indignant because they were not right in their attitudes. And let's be very clear about that and be very careful that we don't fall into that trap ourselves. So there we have the first three things. Recap: request of loving parents, the response of Jesus' disciples, and they are rebuked by an indignant Jesus. Then we get into the real meat of the teaching, verses 14 and 15. Here's the fourth part of the story. There's a revelation of how to enter God's kingdom. Because Jesus stops at this point, and he quite brilliantly, I think, takes and uses what has just happened to illustrate to people how they can enter the kingdom of God. Because having told off his disciples and rebuked them, he then goes on to say, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these, pointing to the children and particularly focusing on them. And then he continues by saying, truly I tell you that no one will receive the kingdom of God unless they enter into it like a little child. And these verses, I think, are important for two reasons. Firstly, I think they show rather disturbingly that as believers, we can, as we've just noticed, by our behavior and our attitudes, we can get in the way. We can put obstacles in people's way to finding a living and a personal faith in Jesus for themselves. And we have to be very careful that we don't act and behave in that way. But secondly, and also I think more importantly, we also learn in these verses that Jesus is showing us through the behavior and attitude of children themselves how we, as adults, how anyone for that matter, may enter into the kingdom of God. That's why Jesus says you can only enter the kingdom of God if we become like little children. He doesn't say become as little children. We're not being encouraged to become childish. We're encouraged to become childlike. Now, why does Jesus say that? Well, it's not to do with the issue of childhood and childish innocence, because as we all know, and those of you who are parents will know better than I, children are not always innocent. We know that. So what's he talking about here? Well, Jesus, I think, is focusing on two essential qualities that define children and are different for adults. Adults don't have these. We lose these things as we grow up and as we get older. But children have these two essential qualities, and they are openness and dependency. And that's what Jesus says. That's what I want you to be like. Take the example from your children. They are open and they come before you in total dependency. Jesus says, look at the openness and dependency of children and take note. Take that example to heart. That's the attitude. That's the only way that you're going to be able to enter into the kingdom of God. When you come and openly confess your sin before God and humbly acknowledge your complete dependence upon Him for salvation. That's how you do it. Come as you are and say, Lord, here's me. Here's the messes I've made. You come openly and confess it. You come depending upon God to cleanse you and to forgive you. That's why we're going to come in a moment or two around the Lord's table. It reminds us of these things. Jesus says, you want to become part of the kingdom of God? Do you want to know the joy of salvation? That's how you come. Look at the children. Follow their example. They're open. They're dependent. That's how you come to me. And you will receive my salvation. So there's a revelation of how to enter God's kingdom. And then finally, verse 16. How does the story end? Well, it ends in the way that perhaps it should have ended a lot sooner. The receiving of Christ's loving blessing. Verse 16. All the obstacles that could have prevented the children from being blessed by Jesus, they are removed. And Jesus takes the children in his arms and we're told he blesses them. And the word that's used in the Greek here to describe this blessing is an interesting one because it reads literally that Jesus blessed them fervently. Jesus blessed them fervently. And friends, that's, I think, what Jesus wants to do for all of us this morning, whether we are children or not, but particularly for those who are. And the reason for that is very simple. It is so that all of us, from the very oldest to the very youngest, might know that we're able to receive Christ as our Savior and as our Lord. In simple, trusting faith like that of a child, or even as a child. Because as Jesus says, the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this simple but challenging story. Lord, we ask and we pray that you would help us, Lord, to open our hearts, Lord, afresh or for the first time to you. Lord, like little childs, we come in openness and in dependency upon you. Help us, we pray, O Lord, also as your church, as your people, to be, Lord, those who have that open heart and open community, Lord, that people might come, Lord, without fear or let or hindrance, without obstacle being put in their way, and to have that life-changing encounter with you, the living God. So, Lord, we ask and we pray that you would be pleased to hear and to answer, Lord, this prayer that we bring. For all these things we ask, God, in faith. And in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to stand and sing one more song before we come to gather around the Lord's table. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Friends, again, we gather around this, the table of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, as is our custom and is our privilege. And we warmly invite all who are walking in fellowship with the Lord this morning to share with us around the Lord's table. Let us remind ourselves of that of which we are about to share together. Paul says, I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body that is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do surely proclaim the Lord's death, but only until he comes. Therefore, friends, we fulfill our Lord's command and example as we give thanks for this bread and this wine that remind us that Jesus' body was broken for you and his blood was poured out for the cleansing of all our sins.
Let's pray. Taking words from Stuart Townsend's song, Vagabonds. Come to the feast. There is room at the table. Come, let us meet in this place with the King of all kindness, who welcomes us in with the wonder of love and the power of grace. Lord, we humbly approach your table, assured of your forgiveness, bowled over by your love, knowing you wish to bless us fervently. Renew and refill us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he. Full atonement can it be. Hallelujah, what a Saviour. Lord, we thank you that you just stood in that place of punishment, even though you were innocent, that we the guilty might go free. Lord, we thank you that you, the holy, spotless Lamb of God, took, Lord, every stain of sin that we have committed upon yourself, that we might become the righteousness of God, and that you might become sin for such as us. Lord, we are not worthy of so mighty a sacrifice, so glorious, Lord, an act of love. But yet, Lord, we are the heirs of these things, and we have received them through faith in yourself. Help us, we pray, Lord, always to be mindful of the price that has been paid for us, and to live in a way that is worthy of that, as we seek to tell others, Lord, in this new week you give us, of the saving love and power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hear us as we ask and pray for these things. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you can stay behind, friends, at the end for tea and coffee, please do that. I'd love to get to know some of you a bit better if you're here for the first time. And it'd be good if you could do that. We're going to stand and sing our final song together. Oh, to see the dawn of the darkest day, Christ on the road to Calvary.
Oh.
And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you and turn his face towards you and give you his peace, now and always. Amen.